positive patience. Yeah. I mean, it's not just when we are angry, we have to control this and call it patience. Sometimes there are difficulties in life that we must be patient with them.
Definitely. And I think it's your state of mind as well, right? And the name of the show is Back to Reality. And I think we have to understand that reality is sort of patient. What I mean by that is that we want things to happen straight away many times, right? For example, we will want, for example, to become a doctor straight away, to get that job straight away, to get...
Yeah, exactly.
But reality doesn't behave that way, right? Just, for example, look at plants, right? I used to do gardening, and if you plant a seed, it can take months for it to become... It won't, no matter how much you desire, it will not grow faster. It's the same with other situations in life. Like, they're not going to become faster. You have to wait. You have to study. You have to go through those things.
Yeah, everything takes its course in real life.
So you have to accept reality.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so this is the thing with patience, that it takes time. And as just Sister Bita and Brother Mustafa mentioned, we have to give them their own time. We have to let things take their own course and happen just as time goes by. So it's not just like in life, whatever you wish must happen just right the moment. And things have to take their own time. So let's skip it in here, go for a short break, and then be back. Welcome back. Well, this is Back to Reality, and we're talking about patience, the most difficult thing, I suppose, in this world. The most difficult balance that we have to achieve in life is patience, which actually needs too much of practice. And by the way, in Persian language, we have a quote that says, if you wait and if you practice patience, then you're going to get the fruit and the reward of that patience.
Yeah.
So patience might be so difficult at times when you are in miserable situations, when you are having too much of pain, when you are losing someone, when you're in terrible. But then in the end, when time goes by, when you just sit there and wait for the situations to settle down, then you could see that it wasn't as difficult as I thought it would be.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that is the reward of patience. Every time you go for a new experience, you would understand that there is more of capacity in you.
Definitely. I think patience teaches us a lot of things, makes us better human beings, and is part of human growth, right?
Yeah.
Without it, like I mentioned in the example before, a tree grows with patience. It's the same with human beings. We also grow through patience as well.
Well, has it ever happened to you to gain something out of the patience that you have practiced in your life? I mean, has it ever added anything to you?
Definitely. Of course it has. I think it's allowed me to handle difficult situations much better. It's reduced the amount of stress that I feel in my life. And that's one big thing, is when you feel patience, you also feel anxiety and stress with it, right? And that can cause many negative health effects on you. But yeah, once you sort of get over that situation, you overcome that difficulty and you gain that patience, you feel so much stronger, right? You feel so much better and you can handle life much better and any difficulty that you face.
Following whatever you mentioned, let me add something. Patience is like water. In every situation, it has its own single form. Like whenever it's cold, water becomes, you know, ice. And it's exactly the same for patience. Patience has different forms in different situations. And I think for gaining patience, you have to go through that situation. Mm-hmm. You have to go through that difficulties. And it is, patience can be defined as one of the beautiful reasons of difficulties that we're facing in the life.
But then why is it so difficult to be patient?
You know, I think the main reason that we are facing difficulties to be patient in this modern life is the pace of this life, okay? Everything is really fast and speedy in this modern life, like social media, like the new generation cannot tolerate this being so slow and this,
Giving time to things.
Exactly, giving time to things, which is natural, for the life we are living. Okay? And this is the main reason that we feel like it's difficult to be patient. Another reason is that we feel like life should be la vie en rose. It's not like that. Okay?
Yeah.
Life is difficult. The nature of life is difficulty to test you, to make you,
to
tell you and remind
you
that you are a human being and you have to go through these hardships.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, brother, would there be any side effects for being too much patient? I mean, would that have some health issues? Yeah. You are in a difficult situation and you tolerate more than your capacity.
Oh, yeah.
I see what you're saying. I guess so, yeah, it depends on the situation really, right? Like I said, we want to deal with any situation that we're in. My recommendation would be to deal with it through expertise and knowledge. In any case, whether you're waiting too much, if you're waiting too long, it could be because maybe you're lacking knowledge in that situation. For example, I could wait too long to speak to my son about a certain topic, which I should have talked to him about at that age, right? I was being too patient here. No, you have to do things at the right time. You don't want to miss the opportunity of that thing either. One other thing I wanted to add to what you guys were saying is that one reason it's so difficult to be patient is because of our desires.
Yeah.
Our desires want that thing straight away, whereas patience says, no, you're going to have to wait. So there's like this conflict.
Paradox.
It's that balance that you spoke about.
Yeah.
There's this balance between your desires and the time it's going to take to actually get it. And then sometimes you're not going to get what you want. And then you have to be patient there as well when you don't meet your goals. Or
exactly.
That's another side of patience that you have to take care of.
When you just mentioned the word patience, what symbol would come to your mind?
I think the symbol of patience is mother in every culture that you go through. Mother is a symbol of being patient for growing a child. Since the moment of conception, that the fetus is put in the stomach of the mother, till the child is the exact child that was at the moment of conception for that mother. Okay, this concept is not changing. And this is the beautiful example of being patient and patience and having this endless kindness towards a human being.
Yeah. So, and you, brother, what symbolizes patience in your
mind? I think a mother is a good example. But for me, I like looking at the universe and just like the stars and trees and nature. And you can see those things take thousands, hundreds of thousands of years to be made. For example, the mountains that we look at, they've taken hundreds of thousands of years to be made. And I see God as being extremely patient with creation and with us, you know, with the way we behave with God. It's another way of seeing patience.
And
God is patient.
Of course, we have a lot of those examples in the life of Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam, like as in Sayyida Zainab salamullah alayha. She was, for me, the thing that symbolizes patience is her. Thank you, Sister Bita, and thank you, Brother Mustafa. This was all the time that we had for today's episode. And thank you, dear listeners, for being with us. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Until another session, I bid you farewell. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ya Allah, Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi, let the Ummah rise again.
Ya Allah,
Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi, let the Ummah rise again. Let us see daylight again, once again.
In the limelight.
A gag order in the federal election interference case against former U.S. President Donald Trump was back in effect on Sunday, 29th of October, after a presiding judge ended a pause on the order. We take a look at the U.S. media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The national broadcaster CBS News has covered this story and tells us more. The federal judge overseeing Donald Trump's 2020 election interference case in Washington on Sunday, 29th of October, reimposed a narrow gag order barring him from making public comments targeting prosecutors, court staff, and potential witnesses. The reinstatement of the gag order was revealed in a brief notation on the online case docket on Sunday night. But the order itself was not immediately available, making it impossible to see the judge's rationale or the precise contours of the restrictions. U.S. District Judge Tanya Chutkan, who is presiding over the federal case charging Donald Trump with plotting to overturn the results of the 2020 election, had temporarily lifted the gag order as she considered the former president's request to keep it on hold while he challenges the restrictions on his speech in higher courts. But Judge Tanya Chutkan agreed to reinstate the order after prosecutors cited Trump's recent social media comments about his former chief of staff, Mark Meadows. They said these represented an attempt to influence and intimidate a likely witness in the case. The order is a fresh reminder that Trump's penchant for incendiary and bitter rants about the four criminal cases that he's facing, though politically beneficial in rallying his supporters as he seeks to reclaim the White House, carry practical consequences in courts of law. Two separate judges have now imposed orders mandating that he rein in his speech, with the jurist presiding over a civil fraud trial in New York issuing a monetary fine last week. A request for comment was sent on Sunday to a Trump attorney, Todd Blanche. Trump, in a social media post late on Sunday, acknowledged that the gag order was back in place, calling it not constitutional. Donald Trump's lawyers have said they will seek an emergency stay of the order from the U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals for Washington, D.C. Circuit. The defense has said Trump is entitled to criticize prosecutors and speak truth to oppression. Trump has denied any wrongdoing in the case. He has made a central part of his 2024 campaign for president, vilifying special counsel Jack Smith and others involved in the criminal cases against him, casting himself as the victim. Prosecutors have said Trump's verbal attacks threaten to undermine the integrity of the case and risk inspiring his supporters to violence. Jack Smith's team said Donald Trump took advantage of the recent lifting of the gag order to send an unmistakable and threatening message to his former chief of staff, Mark Meadows. CBS News has learned is extensively cooperating with Jack Smith's investigation. On Tuesday, ABC News reported that Jack Smith granted Mark Meadows immunity to testify under oath. But Meadows' lawyer, George Tellwhitiger, told CBS News, "I told ABC that their story was largely inaccurate. People will have to judge for themselves the decision to run it anyway." He declined to discuss the investigation with CBS News. CBS News has so far not confirmed that Mark Meadows has received immunity in exchange for his testimony. The former president mused on social media about the possibility that Mark Meadows would give testimony to Jack Smith in exchange for immunity. One part of the post said, "Some people would make that deal, but they are weaklings and cowards, and so bad for the future of our failing nation. I don't think that Mark Meadows is one of them, but who really knows?" National broadcaster NBC News has also covered the same story. A gag order in the federal election interference case against former President Donald Trump was back in effect on Sunday, 29th of October, after the presiding judge ended her pause on the order. U.S. District Judge Tanya Chutkan had granted Trump's defense team an administrative stay, meaning the gag order was on hold while the defense pursued an appeal. But on Sunday, 29th of October, Judge Tanya Chutkan signed an opinion that lifted her 20th of October stay, essentially putting the gag order back into effect. The order prohibits Donald Trump from making statements about potential witnesses or disparaging remarks about the prosecutors. Special Counsel Jack Smith's team asked for the gag order to protect the integrity of the trial and the jury pool from being influenced by Trump's statements about the case, which was filed in U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia. Trump's legal team did not immediately respond to a request for comment. In a statement on social media platform Truth Social, the former president said, "The corrupt Biden administration just took away my First Amendment right to free speech, not constitutional." Trump has frequently argued without evidence that this and other state and civil cases against him are part of attempts by President Joe Biden to thwart his effort to return to the White House as the probable Republican presidential nominee next year. Judge Chutkan has said he can continue to express that opinion as subject matter that is outside the scope of the gag order. Judge Tanya Chutkan's gag order said that testimony cited by the government demonstrates that when defendant has publicly attacked individuals, including on matters relating to this case, those individuals are consequently threatened and harassed. Trump's attorneys had said the order was overboard and would result in his suffering irreparable injury to his First Amendment rights. The British newspaper The Guardian has also covered the same story. Donald Trump was once again bound by the gag order in the federal criminal case charging him with conspiring to overturn the 2020 election results, after a judge on Sunday, 29th of October, reinstated restrictions prohibiting him from attacking prosecutors, court staff and potential trial witnesses. The U.S. District Judge Tanya Chutkan also denied the former president's request to suspend the gag order indefinitely while his lawyers appealed in courts of law. Trump has been granted a reprieve when the judge temporarily lifted the gag order while she considered that request. Prosecutors argued last week that the order should be reimposed after Donald Trump took advantage and posted a slew of inflammatory statements. The statements included Trump's repeated attacks on the special counsel Jack Smith, whom he called deranged, and Trump's comments about the testimony that his former White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows had provided to the grand jury during the criminal investigation. Prosecutors argued that each of Trump's statements were exactly the sort of comments that the order was designed to prevent, including intimidation or influencing witnesses who could wind up testifying against him at trial and weighing on the substance of their testimony. The defendant has capitalized on the court's administrative stay to, among other prejudicial conduct, send an unmistakable and threatening message to a foreseeable witness in this case, prosecutors said in their brief. Unless the court lifts the administrative stay, the defendant will not stop.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
As Ulum Sharifi Islamis.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
among the Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
self-purification is the most significant factor.
Imamat yek asle zendat dar tarikh Islam.
Imamat is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, Assalamu Alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page, we're welcome to another episode of the program Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short Farsi speech by Hujjatul Islam Farahzad. Stay tuned.
وقتی با خدا نباشی خدا را فراموش بکنی خوشی را ازت میگیره.
There will be a wretched life waiting for those who forget Allah and His role in their lives. Here, by wretched life, it means that life and all its potentials will be narrowed down to a person who does not remember Allah. This also means that you might have wealth and property, but you are not happy in heart because you are neglectful about the power of Allah and His blessings.
آیات درباره ذکر خیلی زیاد. یه میفرماد و من یعش عن ذکر الرحمن نقیض له شیطانن.
There are many verses in the Holy Quran referring to the remembrance of Allah. For example, in Ayah 36 of Surah Zukhruf, we read, "We assign a devil to be the companion of him who turns a blind eye to the remembrance of Allah." Of course, assigning a devil for those who forget Allah is a type of blessing of Allah, because through Satan, Allah wants His people to be back on the path of servitude. There are many lessons for those who do not remember Allah and fall into the traps of Satan. Thank you very much, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page, for listening to this episode of the program Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Farahzad. To find out more about this program, log on to our website, parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
Wildfires in Greece, Turkey, the United States.
Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails continue to engage in hunger strikes.
Kim Yo-jong, the powerful sister of North Korean leader.
On the news line.
Since October the 7th, Israel has launched a relentless bombing campaign against the people of Gaza. The bombardments have claimed the lives of thousands of innocent Palestinians, most of them women and children. Israel's genocidal war on the people of Palestine has sparked mass rallies across the world. Journalists, activists, and even athletes have joined the growing calls to put an end to the carnage. But most of these voices are being suppressed due to the pressure by Israel and Zionist lobbies. Reports have been circulating at an alarming pace about activists being sacked from their positions, journalists being relieved of their duties, and even athletes being stripped of their contracts. The editor-in-chief of an academic journal said that he was fired from his job after sharing an article about people dying in Gaza. Michael Eisen, a geneticist at the University of California, Berkeley, and the editor of the scientific journal eLife, tweeted to say that he had been informed that he is being replaced as the publication's editor. Egyptian TikToker Karim Kabani said he had been sacked from his job in France because he made three videos on TikTok in support of the people of Palestine. Jackson Frank, who was recently appointed as the Sixers beat writer for Philly Voice, was relieved of his duties after sending out a tweet in solidarity with the people of Palestine. Frank, a vocal supporter of Palestine, in one of his tweets days after his unceremonious sacking, termed the Israeli atrocities against the people in Gaza as, quote, genocide. In the Canadian city of Ontario, the New Democratic Party, NDP, expelled MPP Sarah Jama from the caucus earlier this week for her statements in support of Palestinians.
Governments and institutions in Canada are trying to use their voice to wait to silence us, to silence workers, students, educators, and peace-loving people who dare to support Palestine. And to every person who's taking a risk to speak up for Palestinian dignity and safety, I see you and I hear you and I am with you. They try hard to silence us, but we know that our words are powerful, and we must continue to speak up, no matter the cost.
In a series of tweets, Sarah Jama called for an immediate ceasefire and de-escalation. Mahad Akil, one of the top agents in Hollywood, also had to call it quits from her role at the Creative Artists Agency, CAA, after she posted in support of Palestine. And Tanya Singh, a unionist from Minneapolis, said she had been terminated from her job in a union for anti-Semitism over her support for Palestine.
Governments across the world, in an attempt to address anti-Semitism and somehow redress the horrors of the Holocaust, are allowing Israel to get away with apartheid, ethnic cleansing, detention of children, torture, restriction of movement and other freedoms, and the illegal occupation of land. After every genocide, the world cries out, never again. And yet here you see another attempted genocide unfold right in front of your eyes, and you don't just watch on quietly, but actively supporting the oppressor.
Meanwhile, the crisis in Gaza has unveiled Western double standards regarding the issue of Palestinians and their cause. Western nations have tried their best to silence pro-Palestine voices. Germany, for example, has in recent weeks moved hysterically to ban pro-Palestine demonstrations altogether, smearing them as quote-unquote anti-Semitic gatherings. Berlin has violently cracked down on Palestinian activists. French Interior Minister Gerald Darmanin has declared an outright ban on all Palestine-related protests. In addition, those standing in solidarity with the Palestinian cause are also reportedly being stopped, questioned and fined. In the UK, the Rishi Sunak government has come out openly in support of the Israeli regime's genocidal campaign in the besieged Gaza Strip. Home Secretary Suella Braverman insisted that waving the Palestinian flag could amount to inciting racism or violence. At the same time, Prime Minister Sunak demanded all state buildings should display the Israeli flag. The response by the European officials to the massacre in the Gaza Strip and the subsequent intensifications of the siege and the indiscriminate bombing of civilians by Tel Aviv has laid bare the hypocrisy of the European leaders and their blatant bias towards Israel.
We know for sure that we represent the views of the majority of people in Ireland. We represent the views of our Parliament, and we genuinely believe that we represent the views of the majority of European citizens who have taken to the streets in their tens and hundreds of thousands over the past number of days, appalled by the stance of the EU so-called leaders who have been complicit in genocide and ethnic cleansing by allowing Israel to behave as it does.
Just days ago, more than 800 EU officials wrote a letter to the bloc's chief, Ursula von der Leyen, criticizing her uncontrolled support of Israel. The signatories of the letter said there is a seeming indifference demonstrated over the past few days by our institution towards the ongoing massacre of civilians in the Gaza Strip in disregard for human rights and international humanitarian law. The letter represents deep division within the bloc on how to approach the Israel-Gaza war.
A war of genocide.
Our people in the Gaza Strip are facing a war of genocide and massacres committed by the Israeli occupation forces in full view of the entire world.
I say frankly to the American statesmen who are now managing the genocide in Palestine,
I am raising alarm about the possibly catastrophic consequences of large-scale ground operations in Gaza and the potential for thousands more civilians to die.
5, 6, 7, 8.
Worldwide, people are condemning Israel and the inability to stop this war.
We are here to declare our solidarity with Palestine and the Palestinian people.
The streets have spoken. Some ask, what will protests do for Palestinians? For starters, it has changed the mind of many politicians on Israel. Take the UK, which has held large pro-Palestine protests for 3 weeks in a row. A string of resignations have rocked the UK's Labour Party. It came after party leader Keir Starmer said Israel had the right to cut power and water supplies to Palestinians living in Gaza.
And Israel has every right to defend herself.
In the US, pro-Palestinian events have been held across the country. Many Democrats have come out in support of Palestinians over Israel, questioning the U.S. military assistance.
Israel has dropped more bombs in the last 10 days than we dropped in a whole year in Afghanistan.
Let's not forget the Leahy Law, a U.S. human rights law that prohibits the U.S. from providing equipment and training to a foreign entity suspected of committing gross human rights violations. Even some U.N. members are changing their tune, like at the U.N. Condemnations against Israel have come from many European officials. From officials in Spain to EU's Joseph Borrell to Scotland's First Minister Hamza Youssef, who condemned Israel's collective punishment. But the South African Foreign Minister's remarks topped the list.
Why countries like South Africa have been consistent in their support for Palestine and have never deviated from the belief President Mandela held that until the people of Palestine are free, South Africa will not be fully free.
Israel has finally conducted its ground incursions into the Gaza Strip. Apparently, it wants to execute block-by-block warfare. The goal? To destroy Hamas. The human costs will be high. Even Israel has admitted that. The battle will be an extensive one, but there will be a price for that, and we will have a price to pay. But we will go on until we complete this operation to the fullest. This so-called new phase is the second phase out of the three phases that the Israeli Minister of Military Affairs announced a few weeks ago. The first phase, a military bombing campaign. The second, a ground maneuver. And the third, the creation of a new security regime in the Gaza Strip, removing Israel from the responsibility of day-to-day life in the Strip. This third phase raises a lot of questions as to what Gallant meant by a new security regime and the removal of Israel's responsibility for day-to-day life in the Gaza Strip. On the ground operation, Frank McKenzie, retired U.S. Marine four-star general, has said Hamas fighters will seek to draw Israeli forces into a city street fight. He said they will use their tunnel network to get in behind the attack or to attack in all directions to make it very difficult for Israel to effectively employ a technological advantage. Here's a glimpse of the tunnels. They are rather extensive. A complex web, multifunction in scope, and hidden. On Hamas capabilities, this is how Israel was welcomed by Hamas resistance fighters when they entered the Gaza Strip. The shooting of an Israeli armored vehicle with a Kornet ATGM missile in the east of Gaza. Officials and experts are wary that Israel, supposedly having one of the most advanced militaries in the world, with a stockpile of American precision-guided munitions, will get drawn into an urban brawl which it may not handle.
Hamas have a much, much stronger hand, given that they've been building these tunnels over 16 years.
Yeah.
They have been ruling Gaza, and it's a town. They have a town underground that they are in control of, not the Israeli army.
Which brings us to this question. Does Israel even have an end game?
They don't have an end game. They don't have an answer to the crucial question, what will be the day after?
The U.S. does have an end game. Uproot Palestinians, commit another Nakba, send Palestinians to other countries like Egypt, to the Sinai Desert there. Egypt's reward, U.S. debt to be written off. Meanwhile, Palestinians have another image on their mind.
Gaza is in its third week, and Israel has been hinting at a ground operation for several days. Israeli forces, backed by heavy deployment of U.S. warships in the region, have taken positions close to the besieged Strip's frontiers, while at the same time warplanes continue to indiscriminately pound Gaza. The regime, however, keeps delaying the ground invasion, citing the need to enhance the readiness of its forces and the issue of the captives. However, informed sources have told Press TV that Israeli forces have actually tried a ground offensive, and that twice. The first try happened on Sunday afternoon, as an Israeli brigade was ambushed by Palestinian resistance forces when trying to enter Gaza's Rafah border. Two bulldozers and a tank belonging to the regime were hit, and some 10 tanks were left as the Israeli soldiers fled for their lives. The second failed ground invasion, Press TV source said, happened hours later on Sunday night. This time, more than 20 Israeli tanks were repelled on the way to Khan Yunis. The regime's military later reported that one soldier was killed and three were injured by an anti-tank missile shot by Hamas during a raid into the Gaza Strip. The Qassam Brigades, the armed wing of Hamas, announced later on its Telegram account that it had pushed Israeli forces back into the occupied territories. The next day, Tel Aviv announced that it had decided to delay the ground war in Gaza, pending the arrival of additional American forces in the region. Meanwhile, Hamas and other Palestinian resistance factions have expressed full readiness for any battle on the ground, warning that Gaza will turn into a graveyard for invaders in the event of a ground offensive.
I think this is part of their plan. We are expecting this to happen. But what we hear from the people, I mean from the military wing, that we believe that if they try to enter Gaza again, it will be the, what we call it, the Maqbara, they will be not only defeated, but they will be buried here in Gaza Strip.
Following the October 7 surprise operation by Hamas, the delusion of Israel's invincible military and intelligence power was shattered. The Al-Aqsa flood operation demonstrated that Hamas and other resistance groups are totally capable of performing offensive operations. On the other hand, resistance movements across the region have warned that in the event of U.S. intervention, all American outposts in West Asia will turn into legitimate targets. The question remains whether Washington is ready to take this dangerous risk or not.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. السلام عليكم respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners. Welcome to IRIB English Radio. Here we are again with Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. I'm really happy that, alhamdulillah, I have Fawad Haider, Hassan Nasrullah, Ali Nasir, and Hussein Ruhullah again in this session with me. So, guys, assalamu alaikum. How are you?
Wa alaikum assalam. Alhamdulillah, sir. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. Thank you. Ali Nasir?
Wa alaikum assalam, sir. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Good job. So, Hassan, how about you?
Alhamdulillah, sir. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. Thank you, Fawad.
Wa alaikum assalam.
All right. Inshallah, today we'll talk about Ayah 11 and Ayah 12. Two beautiful verses of Surah Al-An'am on page 129. Let's listen, everybody, to the recitation.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. قُلْ سِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ ثُمَّ انظُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الْمُكَذِّبِينَ قُلْ لِمَنْ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ قُلْ لِلَّهِ كتب على نفسه الرحمة ليجمعنكم إلى يوم القيامة لا ريب فيه الذين خسروا أنفسهم فهم لا يؤمنون.
Nice recitation, mashallah. Let's see first and foremost what Allah Almighty says in these two ayatain of Surah Al-An'am. Shortly we'll have an explanation, but make sure you refer to that Fasir books, the same as other verses, okay?
Yes.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. A very beautiful word from God. Qul siru fil ard. O Prophet, tell the people. Siru fil ard. Say, travel over the land. Go around the world. Okay? Yes? Have a tour around the world. Thumma andhuru. Not only touring or going around the world, okay? Undhuru. And then observe, see, understand, learn. Kayfa kana. How was aqibatul mukadhibin? The fate of the deniers. Okay, there have been a lot of nations during the history who have refused to believe in God, who have refused to be wise, who have fought against their wisdom, who have denied the truth. Okay? So Allah Almighty says, look, they died, and those who believed, they died as well. But observe, okay? Observe the fate, their destiny. What happened to those who denied, and what happened to those who did not deny, those who accepted. And also observe this, what happens in the Day of Judgment to those who had denied and those who had not denied. Look, who will lose? Who will be the loser? What do you think? If you believe, suppose, for example, the Day of Judgment is not going to happen. It's not a fact, for example. For example, let's see. It's not a fact, and we will not have Day of Judgment. So, you believe, you do your prayers, you do your fasting, and there is another person, he does not do his prayers, he does not do his fasting. The Day of Judgment does not happen, does not take place. Okay, for example, who loses, you or him? Huh? None of you, no one. Ah, let's take a look at the other side. Now, you do the prayers, he does not do the prayers. You're a good person, you follow commandments of Allah Almighty, he does not. The Day of Judgment takes place. Who is the loser? Huh? You or him?
Him.
Certainly him. Even if as an act of possibility, something like, let's see this as a possibility, okay? Of course, that person will be a loser. So during the history, thousands of nations, millions of nations have been there, okay, lived. But we had deniers also. We had people who accepted the truth as well. Okay? Those who denied, of course, Allah Almighty in the previous verses, Allah Almighty told them, said what? فَأَهْلَكْنَاهُمْ. Do you remember? فَأَهْلَكْنَاهُمْ بِذُنُوا بِهِمْ. They were destroyed. Yes? Like Pharaoh, like others.
Yes.
So Allah Almighty says, go around the world, see, observe, learn, and what? Be careful what you do in your life. Then Allah Almighty says in the next ayah, قُلْ, O Prophet, say, لِمَنْ مَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, to whom belongs whatever is in the heavens and the earth? Okay? Who is the owner of whatever is in the earth and the heavens? Huh?
God.
Allah Almighty. قُلْ لِلَّهِ, say, O Prophet, to Allah belongs everything. كَتَبَ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ الرَّحْمَةِ, he has made mercy in incumbent upon himself. It's an obligatory upon Allah Almighty to be merciful. Because he's God, he's the creator, okay? He's merciful. It's one of his attributes.
Yes.
لَا يَجْمَعَنَّكُمْ إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ, he will surely gather you on the Day of Judgment. One of the names of the Day of Judgment is يَوْمَ الْجَمَعَ.
Yes.
The Day of?
Gathering.
لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ, in which there is no doubt that he will gather you in the Day of Judgment. الَّذِينَ خَسِرُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ, those who have ruined their souls, those who have wronged themselves, فَهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ, will not have faith in this Day of Judgment, okay? But they will see it. When the fact comes, when they face the truth, they will understand. Okay? Yes or no?
Yes.
Of course they will understand. So, that was all. There is one point I have to mention, that كَتَبَ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ الرَّحْمَةِ, the mercy of Allah Almighty is something that we can't deny. The first thing that Allah teaches us in the Quran, when we read the Quran, yes, we start how? بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ, I start with the name of
God
or Allah, the most beneficent, the most
merciful.
So Allah says that I am merciful. Rahman is an attribute of Allah Almighty that refers to his mercy upon every single creature. Okay? Justly and fairly. But Rahim refers to his Rahmah, his mercy attribute. Okay? But his Rahmah is proper. It's not like a public one for everybody, okay? It's for like special people, mu'mineen, the believers, okay? Yes. And the Day of Judgment, they will deserve this. They deserve it, not anybody else. So shortly we had an explanation about these two verses, but make sure you, inshallah, you refer to the Tafasir books and learn more.
Qur'ani, Qur'ani, Qur'ani fi qalbi dawman yaghmur.
IRIB English Radio, in cooperation with Xavier International Schools, presents Let's Recite the Quran.
All right, Ali Nasir?
Yes.
Let's move on to the Tajweed section and practice the recitation and beautify actually our recitation. Ready?
Yes.
No questions in interpretations?
No.
Okay. Recite a salawat, everyone. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil faraj. So, wa qul siru fil ard. Make sure there is a yamad. Siru. Siruno. Qul siru. Siru. Two long vowels. Siru. Extend them for two counts. Qul siru fil ardi. Fi has a long vowel. But since we have Hamzatul Wasl there right after it, do we have to ignore it or no? Huh?
Yes.
Yeah, mad letter, when approaching Hamzatul Wasl, it's ignored. Yes?
Yes.
Fil ard. Hamzatul Wasl is ignored. Yamad is ignored. Fil ardi. Ra is pronounced with a heavy sound. Udad, a heavy sound also. Qul siru fil ardi. ثم ميم مشدد ثم انظروا همزة الوصل will be skipped. ميم will be joined to نون, but نون will be pronounced with a hiding sound. Yes? ثم انظروا. Yes or no?
Yes.
كيف كان عاقبة المكذبين. Very simple. Pronounce the عين correctly. Next ayah. قل لمن. Lam sakin plus la. Merge them, but don't extend the sound. قُلْ لِمَنْ قُلْ لِمَنْ. Now, لِمَنْ ends with noon. Next word starts with meem. Noon sakin plus meem. What is the rule?
Idgham.
Idgham. Merge them. قُلْ لِمَنْ لِمَنْ مَا. Extend the sound of him. قُلْ لِمَنْ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. What does Sila tell us there, Hassan?
Better to continue.
Better to continue, but you still can make
a pause.
Next one. Ullillah. What does the jim say?
It's optional to pause or continue.
Good job. Jim jais. Okay. Kataba ala nafsihi rahma. Ala ayn. Nafsihi ha. Rahma ha. Pronounce them correctly. Next one. لَيَجْمَعَنَّكُمْ لَيَجْمَعَنَّكُمْ. Ali Nasir, tell us, what is this rule? لَيَجْمَعَنَّكُمْ.
Yeah, قَلْقَلَ.
قَلْقَلَ, good job. Echoing sound. مَعَنَّكُمْ, نُون مُشَدَّد.
Yes.
إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. Ra with a heavy sound. الَّذِينَ خَسِرُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ. Hussein, how do you read this?
أَنفُسَهُمْ.
Ahsan. Hide the sound of noon, extend it also, nasal sound added. Yes? أَنفُسَهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. So, that's all. Let's practice the recitation then. Listen carefully and repeat after. Ready? Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, please listen and repeat. Let's practice together. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Qul siru fil ardi thumma anzuru kayfa kana 'aqibatul mukaththibin.
قل سيروا في الأرض ثم انظروا كيف كان عاقبة المكذبين.
قل لمن ما في السماوات والأرض قل لله
قل لمن ما في السماوات والأرض قل لله
كتب على نفسه الرحمة
كتب على نفسه الرحمة
ليجمعنكم إلى يوم القيامة لا ريب فيه
ليجمعنكم إلى يوم القيامة لا ريب فيه
الذين خسروا أنفسهم فهم لا يؤمنون
الذين خسروا أنفسهم فهم لا يؤمنون
صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
Thank you so much, brothers and sisters, for listening to IRIB English Radio. Inshallah, hope you stay with us. In the next coming sessions, we'll be there again with you. That was all from us for today. Thank you so much. Thanks, Hassan, Hussein, Ali Nasir, and Fawad. Thanks to IRIB English Radio and Sevio International Schools Network. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammadi wa alihi tahirin.
Allahumma. صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
Voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
The headlines, day 27 of the Israeli onslaught on Gaza. The regime pounds different areas in the besieged territory, including a UN-run school. Israeli settlers have attacked Palestinians in the northern part of the occupied West Bank, setting fire to their vehicles and stores. And in Iran, President Raisi says the U.S. is the root cause of crimes being committed in the Gaza Strip. Thanks for joining us. It's now the 27th day since Israel launched its war on the Gaza Strip. The regime is pounding the besieged territory from the ground, sea, and air as fighting is